Anyway, could we start off by just asking you guys to introduce yourselves and
Sure. Dave Greenspan.
You are.
What do you want me? I don't know what else to say.
I'm Dave Greenspan, councilman for
All right, Dave Greenspan, Cuyahoga County Council, District 1, Westlake Bay Village, Rocky River, Fairview Park, North Olmsted, Olmsted Township.
Did it take you a long time to memorize those towns?
I only have six. I'm okay.
And I'm Julian Rogers, County Councilman in District 10, which includes Cleveland Heights, East Cleveland, Brattonall, and Cleveland Wards 10 and 11.
Julian, I want to start with you because the transparency issue really took hold in a where did it all start?
Well, I guess it all started with me inviting a few members of the county elects over to my house to talk about some issues that were brewing between two of the candidates that are running for the council presidency. What wound up happening is that we had more people actually come over to my house than expected, and the members that were there all decided to vote for the same person for president and vice president once we had our public voting process. And the resulting from that, we had the Plain Dealer, and we're here today talking about this.
In terms of when you started that, when you decided, like, okay, I'm going to invite all these people over to my living room, did you know this, like, did you envision that outcome? We're going to decide who's going to be the president?
No.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, you know, there's two of the people that have been running for the council president have actually been, had been running pretty much since the primary elections were over. So they've had about 2 months under their belt of campaigning.
This was Councilman-elect Miller and Councilwoman-elect Connolly.
Right. And over the course of that campaign, I would say that attitudes toward each other had kind of soured. They were at a point where they weren't speaking to each other. And I wanted to help intervene because I thought that we didn't want to get council started off with these bad feelings toward each other. So it was an attempt to kind of ease the tension on the council.
How'd you decide who to invite?
Well, obviously the two main people would be Dale and Dale Miller and Ellen Connolly. And then I know that Pernell Jones was supporting Dale for the position and Sonny Simon was supporting Ellen, so it made sense to have them come.
And then other members of the Democratic caucus showed up.
Dan Brady.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just jump over to Dave Greenspan now. Dave, as you've heard this story before, I'm sure.
And, right.
What did you think about all of this at the time? And I'm asking you, what did you think at the time?
Right.
Because later I want to ask you what you think about it all now.
Right, right. Well, I obviously was not invited, but you know,
didn't mention before that you're a Republican.
Correct. You know, it was very interesting because when this initially came up in November, there was supposedly a meeting that was supposed to take place between all eight Democrats to decide the leadership, and then there was a commitment that the meeting wasn't going to happen. So we pretty much thought, I guess me, I thought that there would not be any other meetings of anybody to discuss anything related to leadership. So when I found out, I actually found out about 4:30 on that Friday, I think the meeting happened that day, when I got a call from the Plain Dealer saying, what's your comment? And I didn't even know this meeting had taken place. So I was shocked because I thought we were at a different point, council, we were at a different point. These meetings weren't going to take place. And it's really contrary, and I talk to people about this, it's contrary to the mood and atmosphere when we get together, all 11 of us, which we have been since the Monday after the elections. Because in our meetings, we're respectful of one another. Nobody's saying we don't want to hear a point of view because you're of one political party or another. I think we get along fine. Doesn't mean we agree on every issue. So it was contrary to me. The meeting itself was contrary to what I perceived our relationships were becoming as a body of 11, not a body of 8, not a body of 3, not any other subdivision of council. There are only 11 of us. It's not as if this is an enormous group of people trying to come together. I was shocked, I guess, is the word I used, and I used more often than anything else.
Were there other words you used?
No. Shocked is the most descriptive word, and I think that probably sums it up. Because, as I said, it's contrary. The purpose of the meeting, as it was maybe not the initial purpose, as Julian has explained, but the outcome of the meeting seemed contrary to the direction we were moving as a body of 11.
Mm-hmm. So at the meeting, how did the meeting suddenly become go from being a let's smooth things over, let's patch things up, to let's elect a president?
Well, I think the sheer fact that we had six people in the room means that if there was any type of agreement or consensus on anything, that you had six people there. So just by the sheer fact that we had six people in the room, we ended up at that state. That was not the intent. That was, we intended just to have five people there. And we wanted to facilitate a conversation around how do we move forward as a council with some harmony instead of the bad feelings that I had seen developing between those two. What happened as we had our conversations about what were some of the issues, underlying issues between the two front-runner candidates that I'd seen for the council presidency, and they talked through their issues. Things moved quickly, I guess, into, I really can't recall everything, how it went, but I do know things moved quickly once they kind of talked through what their issues were.
Mm-hmm.
And it wound up saying that, everyone agreed that they would support Ellen, who was at that meeting, said that they would support Ellen for the presidency and Dale for vice president. So,
were you surprised by what happened when the news was made public?
I think I was a little surprised on the reaction that I got. I got a lot of feedback from particularly people that live in my district on how upset they were that this had occurred. I wasn't surprised on how quickly, because, there was obviously this wasn't supposed to be any type of secret meeting. Because we started fielding calls from the media probably an hour and a half, but I'd say about an hour after the meeting occurred, we started taking calls from the press. So just by that alone, it was never meant to be secret. But I was a little surprised and taken aback from the reactions. And I think the main thing that surprised me was that there was no clarity or consistency on what was the focus of the anger. There was a lot of people that were upset that there was a meeting held at my house. There were others upset that, we came to a consensus on who the president would be. There were others that were upset that only Democrats were at the, so there were just a variety of reasons why people were upset. And I don't think that there was never any consensus that I've heard on what's the core of why people are so upset.
Dave, what you were most upset about the fact that this seemed to run against the kind of collaborative decision making and collaborative spirit that the council members elect had begun to develop as a body. Did you, as a politician though, did you understand the need for that kind of a meeting?
Well, first of all, I don't like the word politician. I prefer elected official. But I don't see the
as one who engages in politics to win elected office.
That's your original question is, do I understand the purpose for having the meeting? There are a couple things here. These are hypersensitive times, and I look at three things that have been brought to my attention, because I received calls like you wouldn't believe as well. Obviously, the charter says, it's very clear, that all 11 members elect the leadership. Not one part of the majority party or any facsimile thereof. So in some ways, if you take the spirit of the charter, a meeting of six, which is a majority, which forms a quorum, effectively nullified the votes of the five who weren't participating, didn't even have an opportunity to address the issue. So there's this, my calls were based on a couple. The spirit of the charter has been violated. Look, I wasn't at the meeting, didn't participate in it, and I got an earful this past weekend from the guy when he found that I was on county council. You know, how dare you do this? And you know, we're all tainted by it, whether we were there or not. So I think there's one issue. The spirit of the charter, I think, has been, and this is not, Julie and I haven't talked about this, but these are things that are open and out there. I think the spirit of the charter has been violated. I think, secondly, now if you get into some legal issues, you know, and I'm not an attorney, but you have to ask yourself, when do you hold yourself accountable to ethical standards? All right, is it the day you win your election, the day the board certifies the election, or the day you're sworn in? Clearly, as candidates, we're held accountable to ethical standards by the Secretary of State for campaign violations and so forth. So at some point, the clock does start to tick. When does the elected official standard begin? Is it, as I said, the day you're elected? I think that clock starts the day you're elected. If you want to wait to the certification, you wait 2 weeks or whatever that time frame is. But it's clearly, in my mind, not when you're sworn in, even though that's when you officially take the oath. And the oath obviously says you'll uphold the laws of the United States, the state of Ohio, and the county. But you still, in my mind, are under the purview early on. The other issue that's been brought to my attention has to do with the Sunshine Laws. Sunshine Laws clearly state that a private body acting as a public office are subject to the Sunshine Laws. So these folks kept coming up to me, and they're saying, well, here was a private body that were deciding on an issue that would be voted on by the entire council. Therefore, it's public business. So one of those three or all of those three are in play in some degree. Those are the complaints I heard. Uh-huh. And so, you know, being mindful of what's going on as far as the secrecy and the way this county's been run, there are some issues that some folks have some serious concerns about.
So what does all this mean moving forward? I mean, when you've got the playing dealer calling for more transparency, you both have been getting, you know, complaints, you know, probably getting, you know, pigeonholed at every Christmas party you went to. By people. Well,
mine are different than his. Yeah, my inquiries are different than Julian's, just mm-hmm. because the level of participation or non-participation.
Right. Right.
But I get
maybe
those
you
questions.
Get less blame directly.
Well, I don't. There's none directed towards me. But the question that you just asked, how are we all going to get through this? And just like I tell people, we're going to get through this because there's not this animosity between the council members. You know, we disagree on issues. I mean. But we do it respectfully. So being able to weather this and come through it on Monday when we all are you know, take our first meeting, our organizational meeting, this will be behind us, and we'll be able to move forward. But the stigma of what's happened is not going to go away anytime soon. It might not go away for the first 2 years until the next election cycle, which starts a year from March. So. We're just going to have to be diligent. We're going to have to prove by our actions that we're going to work through whatever transgressions have happened in the past.
Was this a real, I mean, for you, this must have been an enormous learning moment.
Yes. It definitely was a learning moment in that I think it clearly pointed out that the expectations that voters have are much different than what they were in the past, and
that couldn't have come as a surprise to you at this point after a 2-year corruption investigation and so forth.
No, absolutely not. No, I understood that, and we all campaigned that this would be a new day, and that we will operate differently and with much more transparency. So I did understand that. I guess the where the real learning came in is how do we move forward from this point, from this point on, and how do we, how are we going to operate in a way where we earn back that trust that I think was slightly tainted from what happened and occurred at my house.
So what is transparency? I mean, I think there's some tension around this issue of transparency and how much you can expect to do business in the public, and how often there are times when you need to go behind closed doors to have a frank conversation about what's happening. Or is the case that you never go behind closed doors, that all of whatever the county has to decide, whatever the county council has to decide, it can decide in the light of day? When, what do you think about?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot, and I think that, you know, we're at a point now where everything needs to be in the light of day, that there's very few conversations outside in an executive session that we're talking about personnel issues and dealing with privacy issues and individuals' lives, that we need to conduct all of our business in public. And we've had an extensive conversation just at our last meeting this past Monday on, you know, what can and can't we do. We talked about emails and how many people can be on an email chain. So we're still working through these issues, and I'd like to get some feedback from the public on their level of expectations. What would they like to see? You know, we're in a position where there's three if we have a committee, and most of our committees are probably going to be, you know, anywhere from 5 to 11 people, where we can have three people on a committee make up a majority of the committee. So that becomes a public meeting if we have three of us having a conversation together. So if three of us and as part of a committee decide to get together, we have to give 24-hour notification to the media and to the public that we're going to be meeting. And it's just going to be a different, a higher level of transparency, of openness, of I guess advanced conversations with the public on what we're going to be doing.
Dave, what do you do in private life, or, you know, outside of being a council member?
I'm chief financial officer of a technology company, and I own my consulting business.
Okay, so you're a chief financial officer of this technology company. Right. You and the management team want to get together and make a decision about the anything, right? The mission statement, the whatever, the new right. product, the design. Can you imagine how much that would hold you up if you had to, if every time you wanted to like get your brains together and do a brainstorming session, you had to you know, put a public notice up 24 hours in advance?
Well, it's a different environment, different expectations. I don't get voted into my office by 130,000 people, which is roughly the size of each of our districts. So the expectation is completely different. And I've been through this reform movement once before. I was on the founding city council, the largest city in the country ever to incorporate, city of nearly 100,000 people. And we went through,
Which city?
Sandy Springs, Georgia, just north of Atlanta. We weren't part of a corrupt government, but we wanted a government that was more representative of us. And one of the items was being more transparent. So I've been through all this once before. And you do have to be mindful, as Julian said, if there's a committee of five and three want to meet, yes, it's a public meeting. You need to disclose that. We were mindful when we would show up in, you know, a town of 100,000 people is not that large compared to Cuyahoga County. And there'd be times where there were six of us on council and the mayor, where four would show up at a restaurant and one would leave. So we wouldn't have the perception of a quorum being present, even if we weren't sitting at the same tables. That may be extreme, but I can say in good conscience that I never was in a position where we discussed or were in an environment where the perception of the public would be that we were discussing, at that point, city business. And I would expect the same thing here.
Let me get a little granular with you guys, if I can, for a second. So you've got, you're working on a committee. If five people on the committee and three people make up a majority of the committee, which will then be the recommendation to the rest of council or something like that. This public meeting stuff that you're talking about, realistically, it's easy to work around that. You know, if I'm on council, I get together with Julian, and I say, Julian, I think you and I agree about this. Can you go get with Dave on that and make sure he's in agreement too? And then you guys get together, and, like, the sausage gets made, right? So isn't the issue of transparency not so much about whether or not you're giving 24 hours of about a public meeting, but that it's really about the spirit of transparency? Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, and it's an issue that I think we're still grappling with. And, you know, I think what we've seen from what's happened over the past few weeks is that the spirit is what people are looking for, most importantly. So Even though there are a ways, there are ways around, like the example you just mentioned, I don't think that's what people want to see. So we're just going to have to operate where we want to be efficient, and we want to operate quickly, and we want to be able to make quick decisions as a council. But you know, under this new level of expectation, I think that things may be a little slower. But you know, that's the price we pay, and that's you know, I think that the most important thing, particularly at this time, is that we rebuild the public trust. And whatever it takes to rebuild that trust, it's how we're going to have to operate as a county council.
Sorry, we can edit it. It's not live. Dave, do you have anything to add to that?
What was? I mean, just so I'm clear on that.
Yeah, I mean, question. I was talking about the what. What do you perceive to be the real call, the real mandate from the public? Is it that you make sure that you're always following the letter of the law and that one of you will leave when there's potential quorum at the pizza place? Or is it really about not doing the behind-the-scenes wheeling and dealing at all, ever?
Well, the expectation is to be upfront and honest with what's going on. Obviously, this sense of quorum meeting is one issue when you talk about transparency. We talk about you know, the use of technology, whether it's emails or whether it's you know, the county issued cell phones, whether it's county issued laptops. We need to be mindful that we do live in a new day. Technology is changing every day the way we communicate with one another, whether it's on the phone, email, Skype, whether we meet in the hall. Obviously, technology doesn't have to do with meeting in the hall, but we have to be mindful of what we are. You know, we have to be held to a different standard, and use the example of a corporation. Corporations, corporate officers, outside of the chairman of the board and the CEO, are not hired by anyone other than, or the CEO and a chairman would be hired by the board of directors, which is elected by the shareholders. We are the board of directors. We are elected by the shareholders. In this case, they're voters, and if they expect us, as they should, to operate in an open and honest environment, then we should do that. And whatever that means, it means. And you know, if we have to, we have conversations with one another as we discuss individually, as we discuss items. I think that happens in any environment, whether you're talking about an elected official environment or in private life, homeowner association boards and things like that. You know, various organizations. You know, you must communicate your position and your ideas. Just to be mindful about how we do it.
Do you have a special mandate as a member of the minority to make sure that Julian and his cronies in the Democratic Party, if you will, I'm kidding, there were invisible quotes there, but to make sure that the majority party stays on the up and up?
Well, like I said at the end of our first meeting, check your party affiliation at the door. I don't view myself being in the minority. I'm one of 11. That's it. There, in my mind, you know, if Julian's a Democrat, he's a Democrat. It doesn't matter to me. You know, at the end of the day, the county still has issues that need to be resolved. We may have a different avenue to address some of the same issues, but we'll get them addressed. And look, there are people within my own party. Now we're talking partisanship. I don't agree with some people in my own party about the path to get to the end result. So it doesn't mean, and I don't think Julian drinks the Kool-Aid of his party, and I don't treat the Kool-Aid of mine. But we're 11, and I've been trying to be very insistent. Party affiliation has nothing to do with the decisions we make. Who we are defines which party we affiliate with, meaning the beliefs we have and the ideals and values. But the ultimate objective, you know, for our purpose, we still have people who need health and human service functions. We still have a judicial system. We still have people who are coming out of jails that we need to address their needs. And regardless of your party affiliation, it's got nothing to do with it. I would consider myself more of a watchdog from a fiscal perspective because I'm fiscally conservative, but not by me being a Republican.
Mm-hmm. Julian, would you agree with that statement about bipartisanship?
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. I think that the way that we've interacted with each other as a council thus far, his support, which what Dave just said, and even the meeting that occurred at my house had nothing to do with party. It just happened that we had Democrats there, but there, you know, again, there were only Democrats running for president. So it had nothing to do with party.
Really? If Dave had run for president, would you or any of the other 8 members of the Democratic caucus on council have supported him?
I can't speak for the other members of council, but that wasn't the intent of the meeting. Wasn't to select a president, so that's why I said this had nothing to do with party or party affiliation. There were 2 people running that that had the best chances of winning, and they were that was the reason why I had them at my house.
Uh-huh.
They happened to be Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
One issue that I do want to want people to consider, think about, comment on, is whether they see a chilling effect that can occur by having this high level of openness and transparency, where if every conversation you have is in front of a camera, just imagine in your own life, if you knew that everything that you said, everything that you did, every conversation you had was going to be on TV or on the radio, how would that alter your speak? How does that alter what you say? And do you have the realest conversation at that level? It's something that it's just something that should be considered. And I think it's something for people to think about.
Is it having a chilling effect on you and your ability to do your newly elected, to fulfill your newly elected duties?
So far, we haven't done any official business yet. And I think that most things that that are done at the county level and as a county council person, I don't see any problems with doing everything in the public. But some of the conversations that we had at my house had to do with personalities, and they were more personal issues of personal nature as opposed to, how much money are we allocating toward this, and it's a little different of a conversation. So it's just something that I thought about. Some of the emails that I did receive from people, they indicated that they were just fearful that it could create a chilling effect if, you know, that everything that you do and everything that you say, it just could limit the amount of conversations that occur.
That for fear of too much scrutiny or too much criticism, people would just simply be afraid to act. I don't want to make an unpopular statement.
I won't make the comment that I want to make simply because of how it could be perceived. Or
Dave Greenspan, do you share that concern that this push for transparency could have a chilling effect, as Julian says?
Well, having done this before and having been in a similar spotlight, we took some pretty aggressive stance on some social issues when I served before back in Atlanta. And so I've kind of learned in a different environment. You know, we were under some of the same media scrutiny that we were under before this meeting took place. So I'm versed in the fact that what I say and what I do, basically, whether I say it in front of a microphone, in an email, in front of a camera, even in a private setting, is subject to be exploited, is subject to being utilized in the public arena. Because, you know, I'm a public official now. I can't close a door and say, okay, I'm not, because I am. You know, my expectation is that my family is private, I'm public. I'll take the heat, I'll take the blame, I'll take the criticism. Hopefully we'll take some credit and some praise for things that we do well at the same time. But I understand what the expectation is. And the expectation is whatever comes out of my mouth, whatever body language I use, will be interpreted in some way to be used for me or against me. So you try to be very guarded with what you say to make sure that your meaning is succinctly articulated.
What do you need from citizens right now? What do you want to hear from them?
Well, obviously feedback is always good, you know. And as Julian said, you know, not until Monday do we enact our first legislation. They will have an opportunity to comment on whatever we're going to be discussing, either in committee or in full council sessions,
because we're going to be publicizing everything we do. We just talked about it, that our agendas and the ordinances and resolutions and motions that we're going to be discussing on a particular Tuesday will be available online probably the Friday before. So if there's an issue out there that they feel important, you know, feel it would be important for me to have their opinion on, hey, I'll share it with me. I have no issues with that. The one thing I want to communicate, and I did another interview earlier today, as I said, that our greatest challenge right now is managing expectations, managing the expectations of the community. Because just like I said on election night, January 2nd, the world isn't going to be completely different than December 31st or January 1st, just because the clock turned and there's a new form of government. We need to be very, I would expect the residents to be very understanding that we are making progress. We need to be very vocal about the progress we're taking. And I think the first day ordinances that we're going to be passing, they sunset very quickly. Ethics ordinance, open records, public policy items, they sunset quickly. But I want what the public should take from that is we want to have the appropriate amount of time, feedback, and committee hearings to make sure that the legislation we enact is consistent with the culture of our community. And so when we have these hearings on ethics, on open records, on public policy, participate in the process. And whether you participate by showing up in person, whether you participate by sending an email, a letter, a phone call, just participate in the process, but understand, and we need to do a real good job of outlining what our procedures and what is on our plate and when we're going to be addressing these issues.
What about you, Councilman Rogers?
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think that, you know, this is new, not just to the members of the council, but this is a new thing for the entire county, and I think that we're all going to need to be in this together. So it's to the extent possible that people can participate and actually give us their opinions and their ideas and suggestions on how we should be moving forward as a council, how we can provide the best representation for them, it would be extremely helpful.
Wonderful. Guys, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
Great, thank you.
Yes?
I really appreciate you guys and everything you're saying. It's been really fantastic. And
but we have to do the whole thing over again.
But a very quick question is, I wonder, is it a good thing that this happened? In any sense, is it a good thing? I mean, are you glad something happened? My voice won't be on, but
it's on. Well, it's a great question. Is it a good thing that any of this happened?
I think it's good in the idea that it set the conversation early and quickly on what the expectation will be. The level of transparency that's going to be expected by the community on how this council will operate. I think it is a good thing, and it set the conversation. It got the conversation going on, you know, how this new government should act.
Well, if you're asking, do I think that this event should have happened? No, I think Julian would agree with me on that. I don't agree that the event happened. Now that it has, though, we have to look. You know, it's the adage, what, so what, now what? Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of take that, you know, what happened, so what, okay, now what? Okay, so it's happened. We need to learn from it. I believe there have been valuable lessons learned and expectations reaffirmed as to what the constituents really want in this county, and that is open, transparent, and fair government.
Silver lining for everyone, I guess. Thanks, guys.
Sure, thank you.